AG1.
What's up? I'm here to talk to you about AG1 Athletic Greens again. You know, it's important to me that the supplements I take are high quality, and that's why I've been taking AG1 for, what is it now, 4 years, 3.5 years or something like that? The thing I like about it is it's researched and developed by an in-house team of scientists, doctors, and nutritionists with decades of experience in their fields. So you know it ain't BS, it's AG. They are the real deal. I've been drinking it for so long. Quality for AG1 isn't a buzzword. They really push hard. Expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, rigorous testing. They got it all. At each step of the process, AG1 is going above and beyond. Now, what I like about them, first of all, you can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because it's an NSF certified for sport, which is like a rigorous, independent quality. They've tested for over 950 contaminants, banned substances. The industry standard apparently is only testing for 10. Dude, it's 95 times as rigorous. And it's not complicated. It's so simple. It's just replacing health supplements like multivitamins, digestive aids, immune support, in just one simple scoop. It takes 60 seconds. You don't have to swallow a bunch of pills on an empty stomach. Boom. And as I always say, you get a little bit of water in there too. Get that day started. So with the water, and then for me, the prebiotics, probiotics, and digestive enzymes for gut support is probably the most important ingredient. I eat a pretty varied diet, so I get my nutrition from a lot of places, but I got to eat more fermented foods. But AG1 lets me have this prebiotics and probiotics first thing in the morning. Take care of my digestive enzymes, which if you're a listener of the podcast, you know I need help with. All right. Look, I've partnered with AG1 for so long because they make a high-quality product that I genuinely look forward to drinking every day. I chug down an AG1 maybe within 10 minutes of getting out of bed. It's the way I start my day every day, even on the road. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/mighty. That's DRINKAG, the number one, .com/MIGHTY. drinkag1.com/mighty.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy. The number one fuckboy. The number one fuckboy, Johnny G. Joining me as always in the High and Mighty studios, my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, give him a shout out. I just mechanically do that, but Arthur is currently on a walk with his dog walker. The reason I had to get a dog walker is because I got a guest of the century here in the High and Mighty Studios joining me for the first time. Can't believe you haven't done this yet. My friend, my man, my fellow giant titan right here. We got Carl Tart.
Dude, I can't believe I haven't done this either because, yeah. This is right up my damn alley.
Yeah, we spend an hour chopping it up regardless. Yeah. Might as well do it. Might as well record it and see if we can sell an ad.
Yeah, let these nerds listen to it.
We got
to
monetize this shit. So Carl and I, we're going to be talking about being ex-jocks today, which is something we talk about too much.
All the time.
And you're actually hate that the fact that we have X in front of that.
Yeah, yeah. I hate it. My buddy, I was just on Instagram earlier, and this dude who's also an actor now is posting videos of him at playing basketball this morning, being like, still got it. Like, you know, he's not a bad player. He's an athletic dude, but like game kind of ugly. I wanted to call him out so bad, but I
want to make like a highlight, shoot a highlight reel of me playing sports and like just have that. So when, you know, someone's like, hey, NBC wants to see a reel. Yeah. Just send them. It's like that. Me on the rugby field, me like bench pressing, me hitting fucking dingers.
Do you have tape from high school still?
Oh, God, if I had tape from high school, it would not be worth it. But, yeah, there's definitely game tape. I wasn't trying to go to college on football. I ended up being, like, special teams and backup guard and D-end, like, by the time I was a senior.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did get to go to the playoffs and play under the lights on turf, which was pretty fucking cool.
Oh, yeah, because y'all played on Saturday mornings.
No, we played on Saturday mornings, but for the playoffs, it moved to like Hofstra and Nassau Community College, mm-hmm. and we had to go buy shoes, and it was like the coolest thing.
Oh, because you had to get turf shoes.
Yeah, and like the whole team's like, they got to have maroon in them because we were like maroon and white. And we were like, and we focused so much on buying shoes, and we all shaved mohawks into our heads.
Yeah,
that we fucking got like dominated. All we cared about was shoes and getting our, and like the coach was like, "Get your fucking head straight," and we just lost.
Yeah. What was the score?
I forget, but they dominated. It was Hewlett. They had like this awesome fucking tailback that we could just not stop.
What's New York football like? I feel like there's regional like sports. Like
it's not as big as it is in the South. You know what I mean?
Florida, Texas, and all those states in between like all have really good football. Florida has good basketball as well. Texas also has good basketball. California's got both, but they play a lot of people think that California plays a softer style of both of the sports. So it's more like the football is like less hard-nosed and more just like really fast receivers.
Yeah,
really
that's what West Coast style means.
West Coast style, a lot of option running. In basketball, we're definitely like, they say we're soft. I mean, you got players like James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, all these guys come from...
Carl Tart.
Me. I play for the Orlando Magic.
That's how we know that West Coast ain't soft, because Carl played.
Nah, they do. Like, I definitely think when I first left and I went to Ohio for college my first semester, and I was playing with a lot of guys from Chicago, and all they do, like, they're very defensive-minded. So they just foul you. They just constantly keep their hands on you. And out here, it's kind of like trading baskets. Like, I'm going to work you.
And then you work me. That's a good stereotype for California, where it's sort of like that. Now it's got a new vibe, California, where we're kind of like hippie liberal, but it is sort of like, all right, you do your thing, I'll do my thing. You shoot your shot, I'll shoot my shot. Yeah. Like, if I'm not going to get in your way. Yeah.
If I stop you, that's cool. Right. But I'm not out here trying to tackle you.
And I'm the not Chicago dudes, bust your shine. It's all you. Go. Yeah,
the Chicago dudes were all over. But I mean, like, look at these players that I just named. They're all like top players in the league now. Yeah. It's just because like James Harden is one of the top five players in the league, and I played against him in high school. Like Paul George, Kawhi, like these dudes.
And these are all West Coast, like
LA dudes. Russell Westbrook, and you can't tell me that dude don't play hard. Like he's one of the hardest workers in the league. So it's stupid stereotypes. But I know New York is like really known for basketball. Maybe it's like weather based or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the other thing is that like you can't play outdoors all the time. So like street ball is limited to a few months out of the year, but I was not part of the basketball scene. I played like some CYO and then summer basketball tournaments, but only because all of my friends played. Mm-hmm. Like I had no desire to play basketball. I was tall, but I had no ups, and I'm fat and like kind of slow. And I was like, I don't want to play basketball. But every time like, oh, my eight friends are playing basketball this summer, I'm like, fuck, I'll just play basketball. Roller hockey and lacrosse. Like once I moved to like, when I was like 13, I moved to like a upper middle class Jewish white town, and roller hockey and lacrosse were huge. And soccer is like big, I feel like, in the Northeast from the ages of 0 to like 14. Mm-hmm. Like everyone just plays soccer. Like your mom's like, you play soccer. It's a way to like get you to run around cones or whatever or some shit.
Out here, especially like growing up in the hood, like I went to high school not too far away from here, but where we grew up at, like, it's still hood. Like, L.A. kind of is, like, you can go on any street, and, like, one street will be, like, super nice, and the next street will be, like, don't walk down that street at night. Like, and so...
Yeah, it is funny, like, house shopping right now, like, looking around at houses, you're like, ooh, this is a good deal. What neighborhood is this? I'm like, wow, this house looks insane. Then you, like, you do Google Street View, and you're like, okay, so someone just built a nice house in the middle of this block, and they're, like, trying to trick you in the...
Yeah, you see that all the time. It's like, oh, it's on Grape Street in Compton. Great. It's like, oh, no, you can't live on that street.
I don't want to be the first white guy to move there.
Nobody will mess with you. Like, I promise you. Nobody will do anything to you. You're not the one they have to worry about. Now, when I come over and do the podcast, I'm going to need you to walk me to my car.
All right.
But you'll be fine.
You're the one who needs help?
Yeah. Hell yeah. Like, I think that's a misconception about gang stuff and gang culture in the city. I one time was watching, what's that show that used to come on? Tough Crowd with Colin Quinn.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Ralphie May was on there. And it was all those, you know, those kind of racist dudes.
You can guess who it is.
Nick DiPaolo, Jim Norton, whatever. Like, not Jim Norton's racist or Ralphie May was racist, but Nick DiPaolo is for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But they were on there talking about, what was it? Was it the... remember that Gina 6 thing that happened in Louisiana where these white kids hung nooses in the trees?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the black kids went and beat their ass and got suspended and something, but it was like, okay, that is crazy, but the black kids got suspended for it, and it was like a big news story and everything, and these guys, of course, are on Tough Crowd with Colin Quinn arguing like, I can't walk down the street. I can't walk down Crenshaw. And I'm like, you dumb bitch. Yes, you can. Like, I'm not going to mess with you because they'll actually go to jail for fucking with you. Right. They beat my ass. Ain't nobody going to... Who gives a shit?
Cops won't care.
Yeah.
Like... That's so fucking... That's not something I even thought about. Yeah.
White dudes do not get beat up in the hood. Like,
yeah.
Out here.
Yeah, you want to explain to white people that it's like, no... I don't think black people are as racist as you are. Yeah. like you're the one who would be sketched out if black people were walking down your street.
Yeah.
Black people don't give a shit if white people are walking down your... Ralphie May is walking down your street. You don't give a shit.
Yeah. I'd be like, who's this guy? Oh, he got his big ass jersey on.
Yeah.
But like, rest in power, of course. Yeah, rest in power. Rest in paradise, Ralphie May. But no, it's a misconception that like, a white dude sees a bunch of black guys walking up and they're just gonna beat his ass. That's not true, especially not out here.
That happened. I was shooting a movie in Albany and I was out like baked at a bar, and then I was walking back to my hotel and it was like, you know, 1 a.m. on a Friday or Saturday, and like 5 young black kids were walking towards me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, not even registering that we were like under a bridge in a neighborhood I didn't know. And yeah. I as they were getting closer, I was like, oh shit, like I don't know what the vibe is here in Albany. And these dudes walk up to me and they're like, yo, aren't you on Wild Now? And I was like, oh, hell yeah. Got like dapped up by like 5 20-year-olds and I walked away. I was like, what is the Albany vibe here? And then all of a sudden, next thing I know, I'm just getting dapped up by everyone. I was like, oh, I feel like a fucking king now.
Yeah, they don't. I mean, you might get yelled at for like gentrification or something
right.
But like where my mom lives right now, I was at my mom's house the other day, and she lives by a really well-known black-owned health food store in the hood that they built, you know, to try to like, because it was kind of a food desert in a way.
Yeah.
So they built this store, and it's been there for like 40 years. And I walked in there to get a Jamaican patty because they're bomb there.
Do they have cocoa bread?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, they got everything there. Like, it's just expensive as all hell. But I walk in there, and there's like 3 white couples, and I'm just like, oh damn. And my mom doesn't live in like the hood, like it's an upper like middle class black neighborhood, but I'm like, oh, they're coming over here, like they're because a couple streets past my mom and a couple streets to the east of my mom is neighborhood 60s where Nipsey is from. Like, I grew up in that neighborhood.
Oh shit.
But on the side where like all the gang members' grandparents live, you know. And so it was just like, oh man, like this gentrification shit is real. And the stadium is like 2 miles south.
Yeah, and that's only going
to get... The Rams stadium is going to get crazy.
Yeah. Oh, that's wild. Yeah, what's the vibe like there with the stadium coming in?
The rent is going up. You're seeing a lot more white people.
And it sucks because not the people who are living there aren't necessarily owners of their property.
No. A lot of renters. And the owners are just like, hell yeah, if you want to come buy this shit.
Yeah, right. Buy me out.
Yeah.
Throw out my tenants. I have no loyalty to them because I'm a fucking landlord.
My mom lives in a duplex, and I don't think she's going to sell just because she owns it. Like, the landlord lives above us.
Oh, she shares a duplex with the owner. Yeah, that's the move. That's that feels safe at least. Yeah.
And so,
but that lucky ass owner, when she decides she wants to move, she's going to be able to turn a major profit.
Oh, she could sell that house for a lot more than she bought it for. I guarantee it, dude.
I'm seeing $850,000 homes in Compton and Crenshaw and shit like that.
And that's so, the cheapest you can find in Los Angeles.
Yeah. And I should say that is the lowest price housing you can find. And it's still $800,000, $850,000
mm-hmm,
yeah.
in a shit neighborhood. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like sort of like, people are just like, how bad do you want to own a home? And that's a crazy vibe. I'd rather rent forever before I spend a fortune for like a house that I'm not happy with to own a home. It's not a victory. I'm 37. I haven't owned a home yet. No need to get stressed now.
You're going to have to buy one in Atlanta.
Yeah. Well, that's the shit. I want to buy one in Hawaii and fucking move out of here as soon as I can. Yeah. I want to learn how to get like the Maui podcast game popping.
I was on a date with this nurse, and I was trying to create small talk with her because I'm just like, I don't know what to talk to her about. She's not asking me nothing about myself. Like, you ask people questions all day about themselves. Ask me how my blood pressure is or something. But I'm like, so what's your dream home? Where do you, like, I was like, paint a mental picture for me. What you want your dream home to look like? And she just goes, well, I'll never buy a house in LA. I can't afford it. And I'm like, that's not what I asked.
We're talking dreams, babe.
Jeez Louise,
oh, yeah,
man.
It's a bummer when your dreams are sadly realistic. Yeah. That's like, anytime I have a sex dream, I feel like I always premature ejaculate in my sex dream. It's like, I finally get the opportunity to have sex with like some random celebrity or some woman I saw in a store in my dream. All of a sudden I'm like, oh no. It's like, real. It ends up being more embarrassing than sexy. And I'm like, this sucks.
Even in the dream. That's it?
Wait, you said something earlier. My brother and mom are nurses. I do literally just try to talk like, and oh, now I remember what I was saying. My blood pressure, my doctor just told me my blood pressure is a little high.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got to get, I don't eat a lot of salt, but he says if I just lose weight, there's a chance, you know, it'll most likely my blood pressure will go down. Just being overweight raises your blood pressure. And yeah. I was like, fuck, man. So I've been hitting it hard for the last like 10 days.
Apple cider vinegar, though.
Yeah.
What about your cholesterol? I think apple cider vinegar helps with cholesterol.
I got to check in on my cholesterol. I haven't gotten my blood work back yet. I'm afraid to find out. I don't want to be limited in my cheese and meats.
Have you listened to the new E40 yet?
No.
I got a song you got to hear. This is great. I've been putting everybody on this damn song. It's a song called, Bet You Didn't Know. It's on that album that Practice Makes Paper.
Oh, by the way, if I was a TV producer or had any motivation to get shit done, I would be fucking talking to E40 about making a children's show called Bet You Didn't Know.
Oh my god!
Just with that hook, nonstop. You can make a 105-minute YouTube videos.
That dude, first E40 is so like, what's the word for like business savvy?
Yeah,
like he has
ambitious.
Like, yeah. Yeah, the reason why he's talking about wine and the corkage fee in a restaurant is because he sells wine. He has Earl Stevens Moscato. Oh,
of course he does. That's so smart. Like, yeah. And I love that part of the game. Like, I did Wild 'N Out for a few years, and Nick Cannon, say what you will about him, the dude is a business. Like, his mind is designed for business. He stays rich despite comedians not liking his comedy and rap, and people who like hip hop not liking his music.
Yeah.
He manages to stay rich, just sort of sliding up the middle, killing it.
What is going on with the turbans?
Yo, I feel like Nick is just like, no one's wearing turbans. This will be my thing. I'll stand out. I'll start wearing turbans. And then it's like all these like Sikhs and like Indian people like, yo, we've been wearing turbans.
Yeah, exactly. And he also is like, not like some of his turbans are like grandma church turbans. Like,
yeah,
they're not even like actually wrapped turbans. They're like the ones that have like a diamond right here, like that old lady at church wears.
It's got the brooch in the middle. Yeah, my wife wears head wraps sometimes, and then she's like, I've seen so many white people wearing head wraps. And I was like, yeah, I know. And she goes, I mean, I know I'm not allowed to complain because I took it from black people. And I was like, yeah, that's right. It was a very funny moment when she's like, everyone's copying me, which I'm copying. I forgot who I heard something from once, but it was like, white guys steal from white girls who steal from gay guys who steal from black girls.
Yeah.
like
it was a t-shirt. It was like, it was white girls stealing from gay guys who steal from black women.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause that's like the culture rundown.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, look at everything like Go Off Sis. Yes. This, all that type of stuff. That's all black.
That's like, that's yeah.
Women.
All the stuff that's like popular amongst, gay people, like loud gay culture or whatever, yeah, is all from black. I was gonna say black chicks. 2019, yeah. Maybe I should. Women of color.
Yeah, no, black women. Like, because even that of color thing, I don't necessarily love that because it's like different levels to that shit.
Right, because that also like, if you're talking about black people, saying people of color includes way more people.
Way more people, and also people who also still hate black people.
Oh right. So. Fair enough. Yeah. Yeah. Because the second you start like the traditional LA breakdown, like Korean people are people of color. Korean.
They are.
And they are not famously people. Not fans of black
people. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I still walk in like the liquor store in my neighborhood, and if it's not like a Latino guy working it, like it's still like
you still get that yeah. eyeball. You're like, I'm just here to get E40's Moscato.
Exactly, that's all I want. I'm here to get some Sutter home. What you doing, man? Leave me alone.
What was ex-jocks? Did you guys party in high school,
man? No.
Oh, no, wait. We talked about this on the live Raised by TV. You didn't drink until after high school.
I didn't drink until 20 years old. And then I didn't start really drinking until I went to Amsterdam and got depressed.
Oh, right, because you did Boom Chicago, right?
Yeah,
when did you do that?
2013 to 2014.
What made you decide to do that? Were you taking UCB classes? Or
I had just started at UCB. We had just started White Women. I had already done a lot of stuff with Second City. I was at Second City in Iowa for, like, the previous 3 years.
Oh, okay.
Three or four years.
And what are you, like, 21 at this
23,
time?
Yeah.
23, yeah.
And I was already over there. And then me and Ronnie met at a jam because Second City didn't really participate in the indie circuit in L.A.
Oh, right.
So I had to, like, find other places. And people were like, oh, man, this jam, like, Room 101 and Crash Bar, all these, like, improv jams. So I went, and Ronnie was, like, the only other black dude. So, like, we both, like, went up on two separate teams, both kind of sized each other up, and then was like, all right, man. We friends now.
I guess we better link up.
Yeah. And so
it's like a reality show. It's like, should we get each other's back here?
Yeah. Because that was before, like, it's been a huge diversity boom, but that was before all that shit. It was not a lot of black people around.
Yeah.
And it was like only people who were performing were like Colton and Marshall Givens and like Echo, I think, may have been on a team at the time. But then other than that, dude, it was literally, you could count. It was like 20 people.
Yeah, that was like New York before I moved out here, too. Yeah. And it was funny. Once I moved out here, too, people were like, yeah, UCB is not diverse. And I was like, I moved out here in like 2011. So by the time people were still talking about UCB New York, I'm like, I don't know. UCB LA feels like it's obviously it still skews white dudes and plaid. Mm. But I was like, it feels different out here than it does in New York for sure. Just newer, younger, I feel like.
It's changed a lot. But I met up with him and then like we just kept in touch and then had our own team for a little while. And then like a few years later, like they did the Black History Month show, like Zeke Ish and Madge did a Black History Month show. And they were like, we had such a fun time doing this sketch. Like we should start an improv group. And they added Ronnie to it and Lamar to it. And then Ronnie was like, yo, I got this dude at Second City who I want to join.
I got the last black improviser.
Yeah. And so
if we want to get all of the black improviser dudes, I got one more that we don't have.
Yeah. I joined it. Also, it's so funny how like when we formed that group, like it was other black dudes around who like really didn't fuck with us. And then they saw us form this group and they saw that we immediately were like good. And they were like, so I couldn't get a call for the,
Well, there is a thing to that where you're like, oh, okay, so it's you guys who are doing it. All right, cool. I'll be over here with.
Exactly. Yeah. I could see how that could have been alienated for a couple of the black dudes in the beginning. Yeah. Well, y'all started up that group, huh? But,
how's that group going, man?
Yeah.
I still see
y'all got seven, huh? Yeah, that's a lot. Might be hard to add one more, huh?
But then what made you go to Amsterdam?
They offered, like, at the time, I was still living at home, and so I was having a hard time with my mom, like, just being a big-ass adult.
Man. Yeah, and having...
Like, in my childhood room with my brother, who was much younger than me, and, like, it was just uncomfortable. They made so much noise in the morning.
You're doing a show at 11 p.m. You're getting back to your house after 1 in the morning.
Yeah.
And then your brother's going to school.
At 6. And then I'm like, and they're just like, it felt like my mom was like just doing a drum solo every morning. And I'm just like, I have no, and I can't complain about it because she goes, well, you can get out. Right. You're grown.
She brings up a valid point.
Yeah.
My dad used to do shit like that. Like if we were sleeping in, he would like purposely make mad noise, like in the hallway and stuff. Like he'd vacuum and like hit your door with the vacuum. He'd be like opening and slamming the cabinets and like moving pots and pans. It must have pissed my dad off so much that we weren't like up getting work done that he would just do the sketchiest like fucking passive aggressive shit.
See, here's the difference. So you had football games on Saturday mornings, but like our Friday night games, we would, if we did go out after or something or just kicked it like in the fucking parking lot of the gas station across from the stadium or whatever, you know, like, and we'll be out late or whatever after, or like trying to chat up some girls or something, like Saturday morning, was my sleep-in day, and my mom would be like, get up, cut the grass, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, we got gardeners.
Like, the gardeners are coming. Get out there and cut the grass before they get here so we're not embarrassed.
Exactly. Like, just want you to get. I was like, it's Saturday. Like, I've been getting up for 5 days straight at 6 o'clock in the morning to go to school. Like,
this is a complete aside, but school is too early for kids.
Oh, it's early as hell.
Kids go to school a little later, come home a little later, mm-hmm. and then also it helps with the parents' like work schedule, like buy a couple hours on the back end so you're not home at 2:30 or 3 in the afternoon. It's like, fuck. You're like, kids need 12 hours of sleep a night to like grow and shit, and they got you getting up at 6 in the morning to go to school on the dot before you're even drinking coffee to like learn immediately. Like, fuck that.
School should be 10 to 5.
Yeah. If it 10 to 5 makes total sense. You're and maybe there's an early program for people whose parents need to drop them off before they head to work.
Yeah.
You know, like instead of an after school program, there's a before school program.
Yeah.
My elementary school had a before school program for free breakfast, and it was like the bomb. Like,
yeah. What time did it open? Like 6?
6. And then everyone would be in there, just like all kids just getting like, I lived in like a, you know, a low income neighborhood for a long time, and mm-hmm. it was just like, even I was doing better than a lot of people. My family was doing better than a lot of people in our neighborhood, I think, because we were able to get out.
Yeah.
But like going to get breakfast in the morning, it was just like, I felt like a king getting to have like eggs and sausage before school. I felt like I was like ready to rock all day long. Yeah. And then as I got older, I think I brought this up on Raised by TV recently, but as I got older, I realized like how few kids get breakfast before school. And mm-hmm. I'm like, that shit fucks you up for a whole day if you're like hungry and tired.
That's
you can't
fall asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kids fall asleep and they think they're just like underachievers. No, the kids are tired.
The kids are tired because who knows what, if they went to bed at a responsible time the night before, their kids or any external stimulation will keep you up all night.
Yeah.
And then your alarm goes off at 6:30 and you got to go no breakfast, ride to school.
Exactly. There was a roach coach in front of our high school and we used to get,
that's a smart move.
Fries, but their fries were like the Cajun style fries.
Oh, hell yeah.
And they were so bomb. We would get them like, they came in a bag and you just like put ketchup in the bag and just shake the bag and just like, just covered in ketchup, like eating these fries, drinking a Coke in the morning. And it's like, if I did that every morning now, I'd be 900 pounds.
Yeah, I know. Yo, all right, there's another thing that I miss is just like the calorie burning of playing sports and being a kid.
Bro.
Of just like default. Like, the joke is I look at old pictures of myself and I would kill to look like that. But back then I was getting roasted for being fat.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I was like 20, I'm like, or like 16, any age I look back and I'm like, fuck, I wish I looked like that. And I was like, back then people still called me fat.
I was
what
chubby.
Do people think about me now, I dude?
I was chubby up until summer going to junior year. And that football season, that summer, for some reason, I just like slimmed down. Like insane. That was the summer that Hurricane Katrina hit. So I also missed like a month of football practice trying to figure out if my family was alive.
Oh,
but
geez.
Like, yeah. And because we couldn't get in contact with them. Like, there were no cell phone. Like,
oh, shit.
And so, but like, I missed practice.
They all
and
ended
stuff.
Up being all right.
Yeah, everybody's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, yeah.
There just was no way to contact us. But so I like that summer, for some reason, I don't know what it was, if it was a growth spurt or what, but I just slimmed down. So I went from like what I would kill to be right now, like 220. Like, I was like 220 and like 5'11", 220. To that summer, I shot up like 6'2", 6'3", and I went down like 180.
Oh,
and
hell yeah.
Yeah, and then I kept dropping. I ended up getting all the way down to 168. I stepped on the scale one time. I was 168 to where the principal called me into the room.
I was like 168 like sophomore year of high school.
Yeah, no, this is just like a year later.
Yeah, yeah.
But like the principal called me and was like, hey, is everything okay? Like, are you not, you're not taking any like hydroxycut or anything yeah. like that? Like you've lost so much weight. Like you've lost so much weight. And then like my senior year, I like started to put it back on and graduated at like 185.
Right.
And then got to college. Bulked up to like 205. And since then, it's just been a steady incline.
Yeah, like, there was like a period of time in my life, and I think it was a 10-year period where I put on 10 pounds a year till I put on 100 pounds in 10 years. I had a similar thing. I was like a chubby little kid my whole. And then after my senior year football season, I was also a swimmer. Swimming season started. And a friend of mine who was on my swim team was like, yo, we should become Jones Beach lifeguards. The money is really good and you get to work at the beach. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm not in good enough shape. Like, I was into weightlifting big time, even in high school, because I loved Arnold Schwarzenegger and all that shit. Mm-hmm. So I was always lifting weights, and we had like little strongman competitions, me and my friends, where like we had events and we made t-shirts made. It's like leg press 300 pounds, however many reps. Like, we had all this shit. So I was really into working out. But my friend was like, now I've got to be beach lifeguard. You got to start running and swimming. And I was like, and it was swimming season.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, fuck it. Let's do it. And I graduated high school at like 205. I had been like 235 all the time. I graduated at 205, passed my lifeguarding test, got placed, and then spent that summer amongst other lifeguards running, swimming, and lifting weights. And when I went away to school, I was like, I got my growth spurt at 18 too. So mm-hmm. I went from like 5'10 to 6'2 or 6'1 and 3/4, whatever I am now. 6'2. Yeah. Wink, wink.
No, I'm not 6'3. I tell people that.
No, you're taller than me though.
Yeah, right? I'm about an inch taller than you.
Yeah, yeah. I got a growth spurt and I lost like the last 10 pounds from just running. And I was super tan from working at the beach for the first summer. Mm-hmm. I rolled into freshman year of college at like 195 with like visible abs.
Oh,
and I was
shit.
Fucking brolic. And also I was still the funny fat nerd inside. So girls were like, oh, this guy is so funny. And actually objectively a good looking guy.
Yeah.
My freshman year of college was like unreal. Yeah. I was like, I never lived like that again. I was like an alpha male who everyone thought was funny. I was like, fuck yeah.
And then
I just
married.
Put on 10 pounds a year. Yeah. I mean, I met Tiffany my junior year. So yeah. I like locked that up, but I put on 10 pounds a year until I was like, and now I'm 304.
304?
I'm on my way down though. I was 324 like 6 months ago.
That's dope.
Yeah.
See?
That's yeah. Now my goal weight is 270.
Yeah.
And I remember being 275 like in New York being like, I gotta drop this weight.
Yeah.
Got down to like 255 and then I just got ballooned back up. It gets easier and easier to carry 10 extra pounds. Yeah,
exactly.
As you get used to it.
It's probably easier in New York to lose weight though because you're walking a lot more. I sit so much here.
Oh, yeah, dude. I got this standing desk, and I still never even lock it. Yeah. Still just sit here listening to music, fucking around. Yeah.
What was I going to say? Oh, the goal weight thing. So yesterday I went into the trainer, and this dude does not lie to me. Like,
yeah, yeah. Let's talk a little bit about what you're doing right now to try to chase that ex-jock thing.
So
you're back in the gym.
I'm back in the gym. I have been.
Have you... Were you not a self-motivator for the last couple of years?
Like, hell no.
Hell no, right?
No.
But
no,
you
no.
never got like, you were never fat. So like you were doing something to stay alive. Cause like you also are out, according to your Instagram, you're out at these clubs.
Oh, I'm in these streets.
You're in.
But it ain't even, I think for me, it's just like, you know, first of all, my friends roast me all the time about weight and stuff like that. And I have like.
Well, the white women are like, classically a skinny group of people with the exception of like you and Iffy.
With the exception of me and Iffy, everybody on the group.
And now Iffy's not fat anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, damn, now I'm the fucking fattest person on this team. Like, by a lot. I think I'm like, Iffy was always more than me.
Right.
And now I got him by like at least 25 pounds.
Ugh.
And because he's down and he's never going to be a skinny guy.
Right.
But he is down like, because he does that
us
keto.
Us neither.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even want to be
I'm
a skinny.
I'm not trying to be skinny. No, yeah, I'm saying my goal weight now, especially now that I'm working out and actually feel muscle getting put on. I'm looking at these traps in the mirror and I'm like, ooh, traps is gotta
move.
The
traps and shoulders look good first because there's like no fat up here.
Yeah.
Like, so like you get definition. Like I'm always like to my wife, I'm like, yo, feel this.
Yeah.
Like, it's cut right here.
I made
spot.
A mistake of trying to wear, on 4th of July, I wore a basketball jersey with no t-shirt on under. By the end of the day, somebody took a picture of me and I saw the picture. I was like, fuck no. Ran to my car and threw a t-shirt on.
I got like that tit roll.
Yeah, exactly. Tit roll. That's what it is. The fucking tit roll. I was like, I flew too close to the sun.
You got like the ant triceps.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I was like, come on, man. Like, because in the mirror, I put it on. I'm like, from the front, like, you can see the definition. I'm like, oh, yeah. All right, I'm throw this jersey on. No t-shirt on under. Where I got, you know, I wear a lot of chains anyway. Like, and, but I started with the trainer about a month and a half ago, almost 2 months ago, doing 2 times a week. And I've been going consistently.
What spurred on wanting to get back in the gym and get the
turning 30,
right?
It was just like I got to make a change now, and also just stepping on that scale. And I watched it over the past like year or so go up from 255, 257, 261, 266.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I got to stop. I'm on the, like.
Yeah,
like,
you don't weigh yourself because you're thinking like, well, I can't be putting on that much weight. I'm not fucking around. I'm not eating like disgusting. I'm not drinking all the time. Then you get on, you're like, fuck.
I am eating disgusting and drinking all the time.
Before we jump back to that real quick, similar experience. For the longest time, I was saying I weighed 295, and that was true. I weighed myself at 295. Then I lived here for like 4 years, and I kept saying I was 295. And one day, my wife just said to me, she was like, have you weighed yourself? She's like, I don't know. Like, do you think you're still 295? You haven't been exercising. You haven't. I got on the scale, and I was 325, and I was like, okay. Yeah. I've been lying to myself so much that I was pretending I was under 300 pounds in my head, and I was 30 pounds heavier.
Yeah.
So that's when that kicked me off.
Same thing happened to me. Yeah. Oh, parallel universes. Because I was telling people I was 225. I was like, 225. I stepped on the scale, was 251. Like literally 25 pounds more than what I was saying. And that has progressively gone up. But like both of us like still kind of carry it in a way that ain't like what most people, like nobody believes when I tell them that I'm like pushing 270.
Yeah, when I say I'm 300 pounds, no one ever believes. Yeah. We're not like Dallas fat.
Yeah. Dallas fat. Yeah, no.
That's the first city I ever went to. When I got there, I was like, holy shit, people are fat out here.
And I play basketball, and like I'll still like beat somebody off the dribble, like first step still quick, blow them off the dribble, and people be like, oh damn, he moves. And if you stand in front of me, you're getting trucked.
You're getting 270.
Don't stand in front of me, because these dumbasses will try to take charges, and it's like, you're going to hurt both of us, because I'm going straight through you, and I'm going to probably twist the fucking ankle or something. Like, don't hurt me. I can't afford to get hurt. Like,
that's so funny. Same shit with me. Like, we're playing frisbee with friends, and I'm running around, keeping up. I'm sprinting. Or if, like, I play rugby once a year with, like, a travel team, I'll show up there, and I'm, like, out of shape, but, like, I can still hang. And I'm like, fuck. But then I start, like, you start thinking, like, what if I actually tried a little?
Yeah.
What if I tried a little?
My thing is dunking again. Like, I've lost the ability to dunk. I can't get up there anymore.
Used to be able to dunk.
I would slam. Like,
and so now you can grab rim.
Yeah, I could just grab rim. I can't get the ball over the rim. And so, like, just to be, like, intimidating, like, in games, I'll still, like, run and jump and, like, you know, miss, but, like, just to let them know, like, I'm no slouch.
I'm
going to
be up there. Yeah. you do a layup off the backboard, but still grab the rim just to see.
That shit hurts, dog. That hurts my feelings the most. It's just not being, because I remember when we, you know, me and my homies, we played a season of men's volleyball at school, because the volleyball coach came to us, and it's, we dumbass kids, you know, like this is, you know, 2006, and the volleyball coach goes, hey guys, it comes to the basketball players. We all kicking. He comes up to us at lunch. What's up, fellas? How you doing, man? Like, I used to play basketball here, not class of 95. We first to be Westchester and since 20. And Westchester is like the school by the airport.
And they're
like,
you're big rivals.
We're not necessarily big rivals. The big rivalry is Fairfax versus Westchester. And those are usually the two best basketball schools in the city. They're always
Fairfax High School.
Fairfax
right over
High School
here?
Right here. Yeah. They're nationally ranked most years. I mean, I've been out of high school for a long time and I haven't checked. But when I was in high school, like, I played against three dudes who are in the NBA now who played at Fairfax right there. And then the years before me, like the Shipp brothers who went to UCLA and Arizona State. Westchester had Trevor Ariza and Hassan Adams and Amir Johnson. Like all these dudes who, like, they're both just like in LA, the best basketball players go to those two schools if they live in the greater Los Angeles area.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're like in Compton or South Central, like deep or North Valley. And, they were like, coach came up to us and was talking about, yeah, we last team to beat Westchester. They had this guy, they had that guy. And was like, I don't give a shit, dog. Kevin Ollie, I think, was on the team back then, like somebody like that. And he's like, I want you guys to come out for volleyball. And you're like, volleyball? Man, you coming out for no fucking volleyball? What are you talking about? We don't play no volleyball. That's white dude shit. Like,
And he's like, it's like famously the whitest.
Yeah. And he was like, look, man, can you guys dunk? And we're all like, I'm getting up there, like I'm grab rim, like we're like 11th graders, like like, and we were all like desperately wanting to dunk. It was like two kids on our team who could like really dunk and who also weren't 6'6" or whatever.
Yeah, because the 6'7" dunk, the Dan Lippert dunk, is not as exciting as like the 6'2" dunk.
Exactly, and there was one kid, the homie Blue, and he was my height and was just like, would just like glide, like take two steps and just jump and just float in the air. And so we were all just like, man, I got to dunk. Blue out here banging out. Like, I got to dunk. Coach was like, volleyball coach was like, you guys want to dunk, don't you? And we were all like, yeah. And he was like, I got an extensive plyometric program. You'll be dunking by the end of the season. You play for me, I promise you, you'll be dunking by the end of the season. You'll be dunking by middle of the season. So we went out to practice that day. He put us all in the front line because none of us knew how to pass or anything. Yeah. So it was just like, you spike it up to me, I'm fucking, like, you said it to me, I'm fucking spiking it somewhere. Like, and we, for the schools that didn't have good teams, we were killing.
Right, right. Because, well, also, like, that's the best if you're, like, a local LA high school. You got, like, your six little white kids playing volleyball.
Yeah, exactly.
And then your front line of your high school's 3 6-foot-2 black dudes just screaming. Yeah. Like, yeah.
As soon as we learned, and then every time it would be, like, our turn to get in the back line, he'd sub us out.
Yeah, I'd be like, all right. Yeah.
Because we did not know how to fucking do the sets and shit. And we were just jumping out of the gym. And then he was right, dude. Like, we didn't even try it during the season. Then, like, for one day, we were setting up the net in the gym. And there was a basketball sitting there. And I was just like, bet I could do it now. Fucking threw it up. Went up. Yaka! Fucking banged that shit out. I was like, oh, we did it. The homie Mike went up. He did the same thing. Mike was only 5'10". And he was dunking too. Like, Mike was jumping out the gym.
That's fucking awesome.
At 5'10".
Awesome.
Like, Mike is, he drives like the LA Metro bus now. Just like 5'10", 260. Like, just like,
not, and he's, nobody, I used to dunk. Yeah, next
nobody,
stop.
Exactly. Nobody would ever believe that Mike, but Mike was the, like, Mike jumped higher than me, honestly. Like,
well, he
really,
to.
Yeah. He really got it. Like, and dude, it was just like a magical moment. And we went through senior year and everything. And I dunked up until like 2 years ago.
And then just like wearing that weighted vest.
Yeah. Yeah. It just, I just can't get up there. I can't get the ball over anymore. And so that's was honestly, I was like, I'll be able to dunk again. Also, you see pictures of Von Miller?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I want to look like that. Because that dude is 6'3", 245. And, you know, he's a truck.
Right, right.
And I'm like, can you make me look like this, dude? Like, I'm fine being a big guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't think you have a choice at this point. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not trying to be skinny, but
it's like one of those things. Like, Mitch always talks about it on Doughboys. He's like, yeah, when I got really skinny, my head looked too big. I was like, first of all, you were 19. You've grown into your body now. If you lose 100 pounds, your head will not look big.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you tried to be skinny, your
head's really,
me, you, and Mitch, our heads are built for these bodies. Yeah. If we tried to put them on a fucking 195 pound body, it looked mad.
It looked weird. Yeah. When I came back from boom, I was 198.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So when I left, I was 240, 235, 240. Went over there, didn't eat, like, rode a bike every day, everywhere I went. Came back 198.
And did you not like it out there?
I hated it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why was that? I mean, I could guess, like, being a young dude in a foreign country without any friends could potentially be a little
depressing. That
was the
biggest part of it, you know what I'm saying? Like, just being a black dude over there, like...
Yeah, I didn't even think about that part of the experience, being one of the 10 black dudes that people see.
There are black people over there, but they're not like us. You know what I'm saying? They're not like they're not like American black people. They're like Americans, period. That country is not like Americans. Even though they've stolen a lot of what we do, like... They're not like us. So I was different, just being a goofy dude, being a personable dude and stuff like that. I was also young.
Right.
The people who worked there, like, no disrespect to them, but just were kind of in different headspaces than I was, as far as like
the vibe at boom itself.
Yeah. I just wasn't feeling that. I don't think the other black dude who worked there was kind of like a dick to me. Like, and I was like, you supposed to be like,
If you don't have my back out here,
then nobody does. Yeah, but I think he's like 10 years older than me, so I think he was a little bit intimidated. And I also was very much like clear that I was leaving after a year, like from the beginning. And I think people didn't like that because they had been stuck over there fucking 10 years and shit. And I was like, I'm out of here. Y'all not keeping me here. Yeah. Like,
you just did it for the year to not live at home, for the experience, make some money.
I was going through a breakup here, and my mom was pissing me off, so I literally like had nowhere to go. Cause I couldn't leave my girlfriend.
Yeah, so then that's like
a
golden ticket to get the fuck out.
Yeah, so I was like, I'm a dip. But if I had been smarter, I would have done the Second City cruise ship. They offered me that like a couple weeks after I got offered boom.
Oh yeah,
and people were like, do boom. It's totally over romanticized. Like, and I regret it. But
right. You know. But now look at you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now you got everything you need. Dude, being able to dunk again. See, I think also, that's a good goal, because just trying to be 265 or trying to get down to 250, that shit doesn't matter as much as like wanting to dunk means you're going to have to drop some weight. You're going to have to get your ups back. You're going to have to build some muscle. You're going to have to fucking do some plyos.
Yeah.
Do some training. And that's fucking awesome. Like, that's, I want to bench 315 for reps again. Like,
that's your thing.
truly, I talk about this way too much, but I don't know if it'll ever happen again. I never went 3, 4, 5, which is like 300 pound bench, 400 pound squat, 500 pound deadlift, mm-hmm. which is sort of like a classic, like, you know, he's strong. He could do a 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
But I have benched over 300 pounds. I have squatted over 400 pounds, but my deadlift was always around mid 400.
Deadlift is hard as fuck.
Yeah. I think also when you have a gut and you're not like years of doing deadlift, your back is like not used to bending that way, because your back is used to fucking bow and arrow your gut out exactly. in front of you. Yeah, I got like that cartoon fat guy walk, like,
dude,
Pluto. Yeah.
I got roasted yesterday in training because I was doing, what was I doing yesterday? What was the exercise we were doing? Oh, I was just doing squats, kettlebell squats. So like I had holding it in front of me.
Goblet squats, yeah.
Yeah, goblet squats, yeah. And I think the kettlebell was, I had like a 40 pounder or something like that. And I'm doing these squats and I'm getting through it. I'm like engaging the core. And then what it is like, you do 10 squats and then you do 20 high knees with the kettlebell still. And then he's like, all right, drop the weight, rest. And immediately my lower back would activate to where it shot a pain down my whole leg. I'm like, I can't. And he was like, well, Carl, you waddle away every time you drop the weight. You put all your weight on your lower back.
Yeah.
That's why it's activating after you do this. I was like, is it activating while you're doing the exercise? And I was like, no, it's not.
Yeah, because you're doing it right.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And then it's seizing up or on you when you stop.
Yes.
Because you immediately fall into an unathletic position.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Dude, I'll tell you what, my lower back is the shit that gives me the most issues. And on like my 34th birthday, I went to go meet a friend for lunch. We were going to get high and get lunch. And when I got back in my car, I like twisted my back getting in the car. And when I drove home like the mile, when I got out, I was like, fuck. And then the next morning I woke up, it was the day of my 34th, that was the night before, the day of my 34th birthday, I couldn't get out of bed. Yeah. And I'm like, I twisted my back getting in the car. And that's just because I'm fat enough to the point where sleeping on my side, my belly twists my back in a weird way.
Yeah.
It's like, that shit is not good for you.
Yeah. Mine too. I think because only my right side was activating. The right lower side of my back was activating.
Yeah.
And he was just like, you got to stop getting like, keep your core engaged. It's about breathing. Like, keep your core engaged the whole time. So while I'm doing the exercise, I also find that engaging the core helps so much, helps you just lift the weight.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, holding the air in and just like,
yeah,
that's what squatting, putting any weight on your back or benching or overhead pressing or like deadlifting, you gotta have that like fucking,
you gotta have that core engaged
core. Yeah.
Yeah. And that'll keep your back from seizing up, because right. until you build up more muscles in your back. So, cause sometimes I'll be doing like, he'll be having me do like dumbbell, not dumbbell curls, but like when
rows.
You lean over, yeah, dumbbell rows. Right. And like, I was like, oh, I'm feeling it in my back. He's like, your lower back or your mid back, mid to upper? I was like, mid to upper. He's like, that's okay.
Those
muscles can be used. It can be there. It can be engaged in there. Like, don't worry about it. But then he said, you feeling your lower back, so you got to stop, because that means you're getting tired and your lower back is taking on.
You start doing
all the pressure.
You're tweaking it a little bit.
Yeah.
And then lower back, what I'm learning too as I'm getting older, the lower back is connected to your hamstrings too. Like,
yes.
Your hamstrings, if you have tight hamstrings, you could fuck up your back for life too. So you gotta just, and that's a whole new level to fitness that, I mean, you have it now. I started getting it at like 29, 30, where it's like, before that, it's like, oh, I'm out of shape, I better go to the gym.
Mm.
But then it's like, now I gotta, like, I'm at the age where you gotta be careful at the gym too.
Yeah.
I used to just like show up there, bang weights, chest and tries, back and buys, get out of there, and like, oh, all of a sudden I look buff again.
And don't go back for another month.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Because you're so sore the next day.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, what I'm also learning now too, and I talk to my wife and my doctor about this a lot actually, is like, my back pain has gone away since I started exercising, even though I'm not doing anything specific for it. Just the fact that I'm stretching and working out is making my back better.
Yeah.
I went like 3 years without exercising.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. No, I get it, man. Like, the only exercise I was doing was hooping on Sundays.
Yeah.
One day a week. Every other day I'm in a writer's room, sitting all day, eating snacks.
Just full on graze.
Yeah.
Like, because unlimited awesome shit.
Mm-hmm. Whatever I want. So, I got an assistant. I call this dude Thomas. And Thomas comes in. Hey, what's up, Carl? Hey, man. Can y'all get some Doritos in here?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. What flavor you want? why don't we just go nacho and Cool Ranch? Like, just yeah, like,
so I kind of like Cool Ranch, but you know, somebody else might like nacho. Just yeah, fill it up. The cabinet just keeps getting full of snacks requesting. Yeah. That's the dream. It's awesome, but like it's a fucking double-edged sword. That shit fucks you up.
Yeah.
And I'm bummed that I'm 37 and have to do so much work to undo. Like when you're in the gym now, you're like, fuck, if I just didn't take so much time off, mm-hmm. I'd be so much further along already.
Yeah.
That's the hardest part for me is that like I'm going to go to the gym. I'm in my gym clothes now because that's part of my mentality is like if I'm in my gym clothes, I'm more likely to go to the gym. Yeah. So I just put them on like I'm like Carl's coming over, but I'm going to the gym after. Let me get my shit on now. Today will be my 10. I went 5 days last week and this will be my fifth day this week of lifting and cardio and sauna. And I'm like, I need to do 20 more weeks of this. Like, that's the hard part.
Which gym do you go to?
I go to the Hollywood, the rock climbing gym here in LA.
Oh, yeah. You do that thing.
Yeah, yeah. Because they have, like, squat racks. And I'm only doing free weights, cardio, and sauna, so I don't need a lot of the other shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My trainer now is like, he was like, Carl, you've gotten through a month and a half with me doing 2 days a week. Now it's time for you to add your own day at the gym.
Oh,
and
nice.
So basically he'll be like, you'll have.
Well, that's cool of him, first of all, because he didn't add a third day with him where he costs you more money.
Exactly,
like that was cool of him to be like, you got to start doing a third day. I'm not trying to make more money off you, but you got it. Like
you
got to
start. If you want to make changes, you have to do a third day. And then you have your basketball on Sunday and that's your active rest day is what he says. Like,
so 3 days in the gym, 1 day of hoops. Like,
yeah.
That's you're getting exercise at 4 days a week at that point. That's good.
Yeah. But you going to the gym 5 days a week? I need to start doing that shit.
Yeah, but I'm not like going full body. Like on Wednesday, I just did like the stationary bike and the sauna and stretching and shit. Okay. Like I'm still keeping it to like an hour and a half, not doing too much.
How's your eating?
My eating has been I've gotten back to where in the last like month a good spot for me for eating, which is like one disgusting meal a week.
Yeah,
and that's like all like. Not a cheat meal, not a specific cheat meal, but like, oh shit, it's sat like tonight we're going out to this thing called Food Shop, which is like one of those like floating dinner parties in Venice. Mm-hmm. And we're like, I'm going to go fucking ham tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's
like,
gonna be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm going to go ham. I'm trying not to drink that much right now. So that's been helping me a lot too. Still blazing all the time, but I try not to blaze until after I've worked out. So I feel like I earn it. Like,
yeah.
And that's part of the reason I go 5 days a week. So I'm like, well, I can't blaze if I don't work out. I'm like, well then go to the gym so you can come home and blaze. Yeah.
My eating has been a lot better. I've been focusing on just adding breakfast to my, like just to start that metabolism.
Oh, that's the move.
So that I've been buying the Chobani's, throw some granola in the Chobani and some blueberries or something, knock that out. And then
you're not fucking raging at lunch. You're not starving.
No,
I'll
get like something light at lunch or something. They sell meal prep at my gym. So I'll like buy a meal prep if I don't feel like stopping at 365 and cooking or whatever.
Oh, nice, nice.
But like, they'll do that. And so I'll maybe grab a meal like that. And then I'm still drinking a lot, like just because our lifestyle, you know, with the shows and going out.
But you got like 5 more years until. I felt like at 35 is when drinking started hitting me harder than it ever hit me before in my life.
And I'll hopefully quit by then because I'm not addicted to it. Like, I don't drink at home at all. I don't really drink beer.
Right.
I drink very socially, and I find myself, I'll cut myself off at night. So, like, we'll be at Birds, and even if I Ubered, like, if I lifted to Birds, like, I'll, like, get the initial. I don't drink the beers in the backstage of UCB, like, because it's unnecessary calories.
Right.
Like, so, but I'll go to Birds. Grab a like 2 tequila sodas or 2 gin and tonics and then be like, I'm going to switch to soda water now.
Oh,
like,
hell yeah.
I'm good.
Like, that's good then.
I'm good. I'll switch to soda water and still kick it. Like, still be there and still kick it. Because that stopping at, like, that still kills me sometimes. And I'm honest with my trainer. Like, I'll be like, yo, like, I stopped at Wendy's last night. But also, and forgive me for those of us who, you know, don't like wasted food and shit. If I'm going to eat bad, I will try to find somebody to split it with. So like last night, I wanted nachos at Birds. It was like 10 o'clock. And I was like, it was after Atlantic City. And I was like, I want nachos. Like, I want nachos.
And you're out there just like,
wants to split nachos with me? Like, I'll buy them as long as they get eaten. So I'm not throwing away a bunch of food. Because I definitely will like go to Jack in the Box and grab what I want, but take like 2 bites of each thing and just kind of put it away. Yeah. Most of the time it gets end up getting thrown away. So, but like, I understand there's hunger problems out
right,
there.
Right,
but like,
right. But like, yeah. you're dealing with your own shit. Yeah, like, yeah, I'm with you. You
but
know,
like, I just needed to taste it. Like, just let me taste it.
like, well, also sometimes that's all you need. Like, is like, I'm like, oh yeah, I want fucking two burgers tonight, and I get one burger, and I'm like, fuck, dude, I don't need a second. Why?
Exactly.
Did I,
yeah.
I just like my eyes are so much bigger than my stomach.
Especially when you lay in the bed eating it, it really puts things in perspective.
Oh yeah, I started like I've started to get like some shame to my eating, which is I know not ideal headspace, but it definitely opened up my eyes to being like, what are you? If you are embarrassed that you're doing this,
yeah.
If you're like, if my wife is like, what'd you do for dinner? I'm like, oh, I just had a couple of tacos from a Mexican place, and don't say two quesadillas and a fucking yeah. handful of tacos. I'm like, if I have to lie about what I ate, maybe I need to make some changes.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the hardest part, especially as you get older, like. When your metabolism isn't just like on your side, nutrition is more important than fitness. Mm-hmm. Like I'm more important than exercise. Like yeah. In order to drop weight. They say abs are made in the kitchen.
Exactly. And it's true. My trainer yesterday, he was like, oh, by the way, I wanted to tell you. And this dude is not fucking like he's a fucking depressed Marine. Like he's like, you're leaning out. Just so you know, you're leaning out. I can tell you're getting stronger. And I'm like, that's all you had to say, though.
Yeah. That's so awesome. Yeah, that feels good though. Right?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Don't you... Like, because I always go by this old CrossFit adage, my old gym in Brooklyn, where I, like, learned everything I know. They used to say, look, feel, perform. Like, don't even look at the scale. How do you look? Mm-hmm. How do you feel? And are you performing better? Do yeah. you look better? Do you feel better? And are you performing better? Then you don't even need to step on the scale.
Yeah.
Because, like, especially with, like, building muscle, it's like, that'll skew your weight. So yeah. it doesn't matter.
Workouts are getting easier, too. So I'm feeling that workouts are getting easier.
You're recovering better, right?
Yeah, I'm recovering better. I'm sore right now from those bench for some reason, but yeah. I think it's because I slept on my side. But
yo, that's some old people shit. You're not there yet, but when you wake up in the morning and you're like, I'm in pain because I slept weird.
Yeah,
like that's humiliating.
Oh, that's why I had to miss working out last week because I had a crick in my neck.
Oh, oh yeah, right, yeah,
when we were pitching. Yeah, I was like, I can't. Like, I'm trying to pitch and I'm like, oh shit! Please don't make me look fast.
Isn't it fun when you're in a new headspace when you're mad that you're missing the gym?
Yeah,
I couldn't believe like. Carl and I get pumped. We're trying to work on a project together, but in between meetings about it, I ran to the gym.
Yeah,
and I would never have done that in the past, and I just was like mad that I couldn't go to the gym that day because we had so many meetings. And then when I just packed my shit and I was like, I'll go after.
Yeah,
and then when shit opened up in the middle, I'm like, I'll go in the middle. And the fact that I did that is completely new to me.
It feels like that helps you. Like, I feel mentally that I've lost weight when I do something like
yes,
that.
Yes, yeah.
When I go to the gym. The other day when I finally went on my own, I didn't go this week on my own, but last week I went on my own and
Does he give you what to do when you're there?
Yeah, it's just like the same workout that we did the previous day or whatever.
Oh, nice.
And so
nice.
He's like, take a picture of this and do it at the gym. And so I do the same workout, get through all my sets, hold myself accountable. And I'm like, I walk out feeling thinner.
Yeah, you know? It is. Like, and you are. Like, the fact that, for me, like, going today, having gone to the gym 10 days in 2 weeks, I don't even care if I look different. I feel so much better yeah. about myself. And for me, I'm like a consistency guy. If I miss 2 days, it's very easy for me to miss 20.
Oh, hell yeah.
If I make 2 days, it's very easy for me to make 22. Mm-hmm. Like, once I just tell myself that's the pattern. So that... I don't necessarily want to go 5 days a week forever, but that's like why I'm doing it now. Cause I'm like, if yeah. I just build a thing and then I knock it down to 4 days a week and I'm like mad that I'm only there 4 days a week, that's a victory.
Yeah. yeah. And you walk out feeling good. Say what's up to the Instagram model who just got on the machine.
Yeah.
That works on nothing but her butt.
Oh, okay. What's up? Hello. More steps for you. Huh?
Yeah. How you doing? You listen to the podcast?
You know, if you're outside in those pants, you're going to get weird tan lines. You know, like those shits are like yeah, cut yeah. open on the side. Yeah.
Are you an Earwolf
They
Reddit?
Dress like wrestlers, yeah. right? They dress like wrestlers in the 90s yeah. with like the slits in the side of Hell the tights. Yeah. I'm like, you're going to get fucking fried out there.
They don't give a shit.
I think breakfast, I give this advice to all people trying to lose weight. And you're already doing it, but I just want for the listeners. If you nail down an easy, healthy breakfast
mm-hmm.
and you just, and you remove like the thought process, like if you just have in your fridge, berries, granola, and Chobani. Every morning you just wake up and you make yourself yogurt. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to choose. You don't like look around. You just get it in. You get something healthy and it eliminates one decision. And then at the end of the week, if you eat that for breakfast 7 days a week or 5 days a week, you 33% of your meals have been healthy already.
Exactly.
Like you're already made a you already made a move toward in the right direction.
Yeah. Also, and on the other side of that, I bought these Jimmy Dean croissant sandwiches.
Yeah.
Because that's the time of day where you're supposed to eat like that.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you want to stop at McDonald's, do it for breakfast.
Right. Yeah.
You
just got to spend the whole day burning it.
You just got to be accountable for the rest of what you eat for the rest of the day.
Yeah. Oh, that makes me think of something else that I'm dealing with too. When I eat like shit, I'm less likely to work out later that day or even the next day. Like it's easy to just feel like crap. And then also when I work out, I'm less likely to eat like shit after, because you want to like, so keeping the consistent workouts where it's like, I don't want to go fucking ham at Taco Bell tonight because I want to go lift tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then if you lift that day, then you're like, well, I don't want Taco Bell tonight. I lifted
yesterday. Yeah.
And it's like keeping that streak alive, not even giving myself a chance to try to eat like shit. Has been
also
healthy.
Protein shakes are delicious.
Yes. I haven't finished a tub of protein powder since I was a fucking like 25, 26 year old meathead. Now in the last like month, I went through my first like, and I felt like a fucking king. I'm like, I'm getting my protein in. Yeah. I got my collagen, my fiber mix. Shake it up. Yeah.
I put on my I got a vanilla protein because I don't like chocolate. And I put a half a banana in there, 2 eggs, scoop of peanut butter, grind that shit up, some ice because it gets hot in the blender. And I still use regular milk. I'll be curbing that soon. But regular
milk.
If
dairy's not giving you an issue, it's just good.
No, dairy's fine now.
Yeah.
But
it's good.
And I use 2%. And shit's good. You drink it, it tastes like a milkshake.
Oh, that's awesome. I fuck with every once in a while. I make vanilla protein powder, banana, peanut butter, coffee, coconut water, and ice. And I hit myself with like a little breakfast smoothie.
Yeah, one's bomb.
Oh, well, Carl, thanks for coming on and talking to me, man.
Thanks for having us. It's been very fun. If y'all sat through this whole thing, geez Louise.
Yeah. That's your problem. Yeah. But there's nothing more self-indulgent than a podcast, and mine is particularly self-indulgent. Yes, just like talk about whatever we want. So let's, before we get out of here, we know your fitness goal, you want to dunk.
Mm-hmm.
Just go through a couple of steps of what you want to do to achieve that. Like what's the Carl Tart plan to dunking again?
My plan is to maintain consistency going to the gym, like I've been doing. I like add another day where I go on my own and hold myself accountable at the gym. Add that. I've been inconsistent with that. Better with the eating. I think I might try to start doing intermittent fasting, like no eating after 9.
Yeah, if I could do that, it would help me so much. Yeah. Like that's my hard, like nighttime is where I fuck up.
Nighttime is where everybody fucks up, I feel like. It's just because
you're not supposed to be up that late.
That food hit different when you drive when you driving home, no Wendy's spicy nuggets. Like they done brought them back with that, they got this creamy sriracha sauce. Oh my God.
I don't even want to know that.
It's so bomb.
I like have to like close my eyes when I drive past drive through.
Yeah.
Coming home from UCB late at night, I stopped taking Vine. Because I would always want to either pull into the Taco Bell or Lexington? The Cactus on right there.
Is Cactus still open that late?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
That shrimp burrito at Cactus is bomb. It's my favorite burrito in LA.
The shrimp burrito from Cactus?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll get that then. Because I love their Al Pastor, but if you're telling me that
shrimp burrito.
Oh, that's awesome.
Also, like, looking at pictures of Von Miller, man. Because he feels like, that feels like.
Doable.
It feels attainable to get a version of that. Of course, I'm not going to be looking like a NFL player. He's been working on that for his whole life.
Right, yeah. He's got a team of scientists and millions of dollars. But
he's a machine. But to get even like a semblance of that, just to be like a lean but still built dude, like that's the goal. And I'll be dunking at that point.
Are you going to have to start adding a day of just like pure like jumping training, like plyometrics training?
Maybe not. I think I can get that.
I think if you drop 20 lbs, that's like taking a weighted vest off.
Exactly.
You're ready to.
Because I also take a jump rope to basketball with me and do that to keep warm when I'm not playing.
Oh,
and
smart.
That way I can.
And get those calves popping too.
Yeah. And then that way I can still, like, got to start doing it because I get cold, man. Last week I sat a game out, man, got back on the court, literally could not run. And I was just like, I'm cold and I'm done.
When we were kids,
this is the end of the day too.
Oh, fuck. That'll do it. When we were kids, my dad did martial arts and was like a little bit of an athlete. And he would always be stretching. And like, we roasted him for it. He'd be like at our soccer game and like on the sideline, like bent over and like lunging and shit. And be like, oh, fuck you. Yeah. And now I'm 37 and I'm like smoking weed in my front yard. And I'm like, rotating my shoulders. I got my leg up on the step. I'm leaning in and shit. I'm like, you got to keep stretching.
Yeah, you got to keep stretching.
I get it now. My dad was 45 then, and I was like, what the fuck are you stretching all the time? Yeah. Now I'm like 37. I'm like, my back's going to go out.
Yeah.
Carl, where can you got any plugs you want people to check out?
Listen to the Flagrant Ones if you got Patreon.
Yeah, if you got Patreon money, get on the Flagrant Ones.
Get on the Flagrant Ones. It's me, Hayes Davenport, and Sean Clements from Hollywood Handbook. And follow me online at Damn It Carl. DammitCarl.
And I'm at Gaberson on all social media. If you have any tips for helping us dunk, tweet at us. And if Von Miller, you're listening.
I'm trying to look like you, dog. Let me come work out with you, and I'll be a backup.
Yeah, I need to pick a player who I want to look like. I guess Eric Kush or something, like some offensive lineman who's got at least some definition. That's kind of the look I want. Is like, I just want big traps in my little belly.
You know the Schwartz brothers that play offensive line? Mitchell Schwartz?
Oh, no, I don't.
I played high school football against them. Fucking trying to come off the line at DN against a dude who's 6'6", 330 already. We're in high school. He was just like one arm blocking me.
This dude.
And that's why he's in the NFL for the past 12 years.
Yeah. I played against a guy in high school who was in the NFL, Serge Olivier, and he was a fucking beast, like left tackle. Like we were 18 years old and he was 6'5", 350 pounds and strong as fuck. And you're like, God damn it. Yeah. Well, thanks, Carl. It was good to see you, man. All right. Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.